You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You just heard that steamy forecast from Brian Busby. But the Farmer's Almanac is predicting a very cold, long winter.
No. Yes.
No.
In the United States, 2024 to 2025. The 209th edition of the Farmer's Almanac is out now. It forecasts chill, snow, repeat weather patterns for the upcoming winter season.
Oh, I can't wait.
That sounds awful. Oh, here's the Midwest forecast.
Worse.
By the way, we're not even listed in the Midwest. You need to go over to, quote, northern states.
Do I really?
Yeah. Blew my mind.
Well, I don't have the northern states.
They're in there.
I don't see them.
Okay. Well, read the Midwest, and I'll pull up the northern states.
Well, then why would I even read the Midwest if we're not considered in the Midwest for some reason?
I was very confused that Michigan is considered the Midwest, and under northern states, it said Kansas, Missouri, and Iowa.
Ohio is in the Midwest?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually knew that, believe it or not.
They consider Indiana the Midwest.
I do, too, kind of.
But yeah, Michigan's a northern state, but Missouri... Or sorry, Michigan is Midwest, but Missouri is a northern state.
That makes sense. Consider, oh, wait. Huh. Do the people who put the Farmer's Almanac, do they have a map?
I have no idea.
Okay. It's not that important, Sam. Let's get back to the Royals thing real quick.
Very cold and snowy. That's what we got.
Okay.
Great. We'll not mention today's game, but let's talk about the Royals.
Do not mention the game because some people record them and watch them in the evening.
And then they get very upset, so we're not going to talk about it.
Did you guys get in trouble for that again?
Nope.
Oh.
This is from Fox 4. Multiple sources have confirmed to Fox 4 that a Royals-affiliated company has reached an agreement that will give it ownership of the Asperia campus in Overland Park, south of 435 on Null. The deal between Wichita-based Occidental Management and the Royals affiliate means there will be no foreclosure that could have tied the property up during the process. Late in May, Fox 4 confirmed that the team's affiliate purchased the troubled mortgage. The Kansas City Business Journal also reporting that Occidental, the former owner of the old Sprint campus, had until August 9th to make a more than $230 million balloon payment. The campus northwest of 119th and Null is now known as Asperia. Monday's confirmation does not mean that the Royals' new stadium is moving to the Asperia campus necessarily, but it does mean that the group that bought the mortgage would have control to do what it wants so long as it got approval from the Overland Park City Council. Okie
dokie.
I mean, I can't imagine they don't do something with it. They bought a property that was on the fence of being foreclosed on, I would assume, because they weren't making enough money off of their rentals to pay the bills.
Yeah, but you could sell the property. Somebody could piecemeal it and do something with it.
Yeah.
Turn it into more apartments, because that's what you need at 119th and Null.
Yeah, well.
More restaurants.
Maybe they could open up an entertainment district. They don't have one of those right there.
No, they don't have one right across the street on the east side.
It doesn't span eight major roadways.
No.
Did you guys see... And I know 99% of people listening are going to say they would do one thing, but there might be 1% of you out there that would be like, I would do exactly what this guy did. But I think it's going to be a huge swing. Apparently at the Buccaneers game, the preseason Buccaneers game, a woman was so overserved, she appeared to be passed out in the stands. So security comes, like I think an ambulance guy comes, right?
Okay.
To safely escort her out, and her boyfriend or husband, who is also there with her and some other buddies.
Oh, God.
He stays for the fourth quarter.
Of a preseason game.
Of a preseason game. Now, I'm glad you brought that up, Scott. Would it be different if it was like a big game? Or is it worse because it's a preseason game that is meaningless?
It's worse. It's not... I would still leave, even if it was a regular season game. Now, if it's a AFC championship game.
Well, I'm asking.
3-point spread.
Sober up, honey. Let me get you some coffee. She's obviously in, I don't want to say good hands. I mean, she was having some sort of issue, but paramedics are with her, so she's not going to die on their watch.
I won't say who this was, but I was with a young lady years ago, and we were going to a concert. I won't say which.
Okay.
Suffice it to say, somebody that I really, really like.
Okay.
Sings very happy, cheery songs.
Okay. Yep.
And on the way to the event, check that, after we got to the venue,
yep,
she very quickly overserved herself.
Yep.
So badly that she asked if we could go sit down for a little bit, at which point she all but passed out. One of my favorite bands of all time had not even taken the stage.
Yep.
I was so excited for this show.
Yep.
I was ready. Oh. And I put her in my car and drove her back to my house. And I never saw the show. Sometimes
did you ever speak to her again? Were you so mad?
Well, yeah, we were dating at the time. And I was annoyed, and the next morning she knew that I was less than thrilled. I'll tell you who it was, but you can't say it on the air.
Okay.
I bet you've already figured it out.
Okay, yeah. By the way, the incident has gone viral with mixed reactions from fans on social media.
How could the reactions be mixed? Number one, this is a preseason football game of a team that's not going to be very good anyway. Not that that would matter. But your girlfriend has overserved herself, and you probably had something to do with that. Don't you have a responsibility? Sam, what would Mary Beth do to you? Well, how much longer would you continue to breathe oxygen if you had stayed at a Chiefs preseason game while Mary Beth had to be, for whatever reason, whether it was over intoxication or she just got ill, didn't feel well, whatever, you know, she was perfectly sober and needed to go to the hospital, and you stayed behind and sat in your seat at a Chiefs game, would you see the next morning sunlight?
I value the ability to sleep over a preseason football game.
You would leave the stadium with her?
Yes. Now, AFC Championship game, fourth quarter.
It's 24-24.
I'm propping her up. She, you know, I'm throwing her over the shoulder. We're standing there the rest of the game.
I'll tell you this. In one of the clips.
You know, do Weekend at Bernie's with her?
That's right.
Yes. In one of the clips, she's like this, Scott.
She's hammered.
And that's why I don't think someone called for paramedics. I think police or paramedics saw her and went,
Or somebody in the stands noticed and realized that he wasn't taken care of.
It actually appears like all of the people around her don't care. I mean, which is scary. They primarily played their second and third stringers in the opener, by the way.
Most teams do.
Not that it would be okay to leave somebody in that state if they were playing their starters. I'm just reading the story as it appears.
I don't think he's the Marion type.
No, probably not the guy you take home to mom.
I mean,
can I see a picture of her? Do you have a picture of
this? I was going to say, I'm trying
to. She's completely out of it. Like,
does she look like a normal person, though?
Well, I'm going to tell you
she's
this.
She's wearing a 14 jersey. Who's in 14?
I don't know.
He's got his arm around her, and she is just stone cold passed out.
She's out.
Yeah.
She's out.
But she looks like a normal, not like someone who's.
No, she. Yeah.
I don't even know where I'm going with this.
So. Well, yeah, people online were saying, Sam, oh my God, what if a stranger drugged her or something? And I do think that's why paramedics and police came to check it out. She does come to when paramedics are there and mumbles something to the guy, and then they take her away.
Chris Godwin, wide receiver, is number 14.
Right, she's a Chris Godwin fan. Anyway.
I'm just saying maybe that this is a situation where she gets like this all the time. And he's probably like, again?
Yeah, but if that was a situation, I mean, where every time you take her out, she's getting just rip-roaring drunk, don't you just leave her at home at some point and take your buddy?
I don't know.
Well, he left her somewhere.
Or just leave the house and sit by yourself at a worthless preseason game in Tampa Bay. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. It's an interesting topic if you guys want to weigh in on it. What would you do? Or do you have a similar story where, I was at this concert and, you know, my boyfriend was just rip-roaring drunk and...
Or you have a first-class ticket and your seatmate does not.
How did that happen?
Your partner in life does not.
Like, you got upgraded at the last second.
Yep.
No, you sit in the back.
Really?
You would sit in first class?
No, I would try to finagle.
Well, then why are you really?
I would try to finagle it so that both of us could be seated in first class, which, by the way, I have never
sat in first class.
Sat in first class in my entire life. I don't think I could do it.
I've walked past it a lot.
Yeah.
But I've never sat in it.
You ever notice everyone's looking down the whole time?
They never look up.
Real
no eye contact.
Real busy when you walk by.
Did you notice that she just revealed the truth and then walked it back based
on
your reaction?
No, I did not. I would never, ever, ever not sit with him.
913-586. Lies.
It was offered.
913. I tried to finagle another seat that doesn't exist. 913-586-7798. Let's grab Wendy real quick in Overland Park. Wendy, good afternoon. Hi.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, go ahead.
So I just caught the tail end of that, but I was dating a guy I met him a couple years ago, but 3 months in, he asked me to go on vacation with him because he already had a plan before we met. And he's like, I'm going to Portugal. Do you want to go? And I'm like, well, let me look up where that even is. So I said, of course I said yes. And, we get to the airport and we go to the Sky Lounge because he's a big American Airlines guy. So he comes back and says he got one upgrade. And I thought, oh my God, how's this going to go? So then he said, and you're taking it. So he gave me the upgrade to first class and it was amazing.
Wow. And you didn't make him a husband.
Well, I'm trying.
Oh, you're still dating?
Yes.
Oh, good.
It worked.
Good for you.
Wendy, thank you for the call. We got some breaking news.
I
know that we need to pass on right now from the Lee's Summit, Missouri Police Department. If you are driving home right now, keep your eyes peeled. The Lee's Summit Police Department is actively searching for a missing autistic child. They posted this today at 5:15 p.m., so in the last 10 minutes.
Okay.
Mona Alsakini is 7 years old.
Huh.
7 years old. Her name is Mona. She is nonverbal. She is autistic. She is not comfortable with strangers. She will run away from people she does not know. She was last seen at her house. Please look this up, Sam, in the 500 block of Southeast Lee Haven Drive. 500 block of Southeast Lee Haven Drive.
That is just west of 291.
And I hate it when police departments don't say where this is.
There's a Hy-Vee in the area. It's right behind the Hy-Vee.
West of 291 and what?
2nd Street. There's a 54th Street right down the road.
Okay. She was last seen there around 4:10 p.m. She left the home in an unknown direction of travel. She is wearing the same dress as they have put in this picture, and we're going to put this on all of our social channels. But it's turned inside out, they write. If you see Mona, call 911 immediately. We will update this post the minute she is found. And she's just the sweetest little thing. It is a sleeveless dress, I can tell you that.
Mm.
7 years old. And quite frankly, short, black, really dark brown, short, shoulder-length hair.
Okay, I said it was right behind the Hy-Vee. Actually, Hy-Vee's on the other side of 291. I misspoke.
It's just east of downtown Lee Summit.
I was going to say that sounded like downtown.
It's between downtown Lee Summit and 291 Highway.
Okay, we are going to post a photo of that sweet Mona on all of our social media posts.
I pray to God she's okay.
And that I know that is a vague description, but a seven-year-old roaming around by themselves is going to stand out. So
yeah,
if you see
course.
A little girl that looks about seven wearing a sleeveless dress turned inside out, call 911.
Now remember, and keep this in mind, she doesn't do well around strangers. So and would run away if she's that close to 291. I don't give advice, but if I did, maybe you call 911 and let them take care of
it.
Instead of scaring her and, you know, she takes off running.
Okay, we're posting this now.
And God forbid in the wrong direction. We'll keep you posted on that, yeah. Story here from the New York Post. A tourist who attempted to snap a photograph with an elephant, a selfie, was subsequently severely injured after being trampled and stripped. Yes, stripped.
Oh, yeah, the elephant took his pants off.
It took his pants and his underpants off with its tusk, revealing his bare behind for all manner of beasts to bear witness. Authorities are calling it a reckless and dangerous stunt.
It is a rough afternoon.
The shocking incident, which occurred near a temple in Karnataka, India, on Sunday, was captured on video by other visitors at the wildlife reserve. The footage, as you can imagine, has since gone viral, sparking outrage and renewed warnings about human-animal interactions. I don't know how many times people have to be told. The tourist, whose name would indicate that he's from that region of the world, I can't pronounce it, had reportedly trespassed into a restricted forest area when he encountered the wild elephant. Witnesses say that he attempted to take a selfie with the animal, which was eating carrots by the roadside. Uh-huh. You know, I he even used his camera flash. That's right, what triggered the elephant.
I said this to Scott off the air, but I'll sort of repeat what I said on the air. I don't wish for anyone to be trampled by an elephant. I truly do not. But there are certain circumstances, and you see these videos of people doing things like this, Sam, and you just sort of shrug and go, well, yeah, that squares, that the elephant would do that. An elephant is doing what an elephant's going to do.
That's right.
When you are being so stupid.
And you know for a split second that guy thought to himself, oh, blank, my flash is on, and then he gets trampled.
I've had two friends in the last month that went on African safaris. You are so guided as to what to do what not to do.
But this was in India. Maybe they're a little bit more lax. It was at a wildlife reserve in India.
Not if you're at a wildlife reserve. They get sued too. They tell you, don't. The camera thing was a big one. You
sure,
can't just
it was
go,
the flash.
You know, when the old school film would rewind.
Yes. By the way, somebody in the text line has a good question. What is the ethnicity of the child that we need to be keeping an eye out for? The child looks to be, based on the picture that Dana's posted, either white or Hispanic. It's hard to tell.
Hawaiian, white, Hispanic.
Dark hair.
She has a little bit of a darker complexion.
Yes.
I would even say Native American, but I don't want to say that. We don't know. Missing 7-year-old wandering around in a sleeveless dress. That's what we're on the lookout for in Lee's Summit.
But I understand when people say, 100%. You know, what's the ethnicity? She's either white or she is a slightly darker what's the word I'm looking for here?
Complected.
Is it complected? Child. Not black, not Asian. A veteran New Orleans police officer linked to accused killer Danette Colbert has been arrested on she's the one who is suspected in the death of the Kansas City sports reporter during the Super Bowl. A New Orleans police officer linked to her has been arrested on prostitution and malfeasance counts, according to court records. Terrence Johnson, 56, surrendered and was booked into the center jail this morning on 2 counts of prostitution, 3 counts of malfeasance in office, and 2 counts of first degree.
She had him saved in her cell phone as Popo.
No, TJ Popo.
TJ Popo.
Apparently, allegedly, he was a frequent flyer if he was saved in her phone.
And you mean to tell me they did not know all those men were being drugged down there? Because I don't buy it.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798 on Dana and Parks.
So on this program, we have to read probably more of a steady diet of awful news than your average person. And I've gotten better on the weekends about turning some of that off, Scott. I don't watch the gory crime documentaries anymore. I just can't do it. But we do have to ingest a lot of that information. And I think that it's not healthy in some ways for all of us in the industry, and even if you're not in the industry and you're giving yourself a steady diet of this murdertainment, it's not good for you. We know that, right? So I saw this headline in the New York Times, and it fascinated me, and it is such a good read because you just mentioned Brian Koberger.
Mm-hmm.
The headline reads, after a grisly trial, jurors are left with mental scars and few resources. People who serve on disturbing cases can suffer the effects for years after a trial ends. And I would suggest to you, Scott, in the Koberger trial.
Sure, no question.
If the judge had said to me, I mean, is that one of the questions? Do you think you can even physically handle being here?
No, he never did go to trial, but you're right.
I would have said no. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Can you be impartial? No.
So there was a report that came out about 2 weeks after he pleaded guilty. And they were police reports. One of them, and I didn't read the police report, but read a news article about it, said that two of the victims were, quote, unrecognizable.
Yeah. I would not be able to sit in on that. So,
if you had to go to, if you were a juror on that trial, you would have to see those photographs as part of the evidence.
So they interviewed a woman for the story named Chloe Beck. And I want to talk to you if you have served on a jury here locally. It says Chloe Beck was excited by the prospect of jury duty when she was called to serve back in early 2018. It could be a much needed break from work, she thought.
It doesn't pay that well.
The case turned out to be a gruesome trial that would change her life for years to come. A nanny had been charged with stabbing two children in the bathtub of their family's Upper West Side apartment. Ms. Beck, as an alternate juror, then worked as an administrator at NYU, sat alongside the rest of the trial's jurors as they listened to devastating testimony from the children's parents and had to look at those grisly crime scene photos. She says, to this day, I still see those images, mm-hmm. the little orange toothbrush hanging on the wall. Throughout the 7-week trial, Ms. Beck had little to no support, bound by the restriction that you can't even discuss the case until it's resolved. She says, quote, they just pluck you out of your normal life, show you these horrible things, and then tell you not to say a word about it. All I could do was go to the movies after the day ended, sit in a dark theater, and cry. After the trial ended with a conviction, Ms. Beck was still haunted by what she saw. She used to take baths to relax, not anymore. So did her kitchen knives. Avoid, 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 Scott. Perhaps most unsettling, she said, the case continues to be a factor in whether or not I decide to have children. She's now 38. The thought of needing to have someone else watch her child terrifies her. So you fast forward then to 2019. She is diagnosed. She's having severe anxiety and panic attacks.
Sure.
She's diagnosed with PTSD. Those who work in the judicial system have long been aware that jurors, in the process of fulfilling their civic duty, can suffer mental health effects, especially in violent crimes cases. One study found the symptoms of trauma, like anxiety, feeling emotionally drained, sleep issues, occur in as many as 50% of jurors who serve on difficult cases. North Dakota just passed a bill that would provide similar services to jurors as they do for, like, first responders who go through trauma, see trauma.
Remind me to come back to that in
which
a
you
second.
Do, right?
Well.
She says, as an everyday average person, you can start reading a newspaper article, and this is what I did with the Koberger case, right? And if it gets to the part that you don't like, you close the book, you close the magazine, you don't digest that material. She says, it's not possible as a juror. It's your job to hold those details in your brain for days or even weeks.
Now, you mentioned first responders, and I'm glad you did.
Yep.
And here's why. And I'm sure that, at every major police department, even, smaller towns like Mission and Shawnee, Merriam even, that there is some avenue to which if you are feeling the pressures of the job building too much, you can say, hey, hey, Captain, or hey, Chief, whatever. Listen, I need to see somebody and talk this through. And I'm sure that those services are provided at no cost to you. But what tough cop is going to let his other coworkers know the strains of the and maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I think it's gotten better.
But the strains of this job are wearing me down.
But the difference there is, Scott, and it's an important difference, but I'm not denying that our first responders need mental health help at all, because I think they do, and I think we're getting better about it.
I hope so.
But they signed up for that job knowing they were going to see probably horrible things. Car wrecks, fires, child abuse, right?
It doesn't make it any easier.
It does not make it any easier. As a juror, you are plucked out of a lottery system, essentially, and brought in to do your civic duty. And you know, she starts out the story saying, I thought it'd be a couple of days off of work. It really changed her life.
I understand that, but there are ways to get out of jury duty. And even if you're picked to be on the jury, or in this case, as this woman is, an alternate, there are ways to get off of that jury.
Let me read you this. Until recently, efforts to better support jurors have been piecemeal at best. Jill Karofsky, the Chief Justice on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, recalled another judge's child pornography trial during which jurors needed waste baskets nearby because more than one of them got sick.
I
kept saying, what can I do for my jurors? The judge said no one had any answers. She started finding small ways to support them. During one trial, she had a therapy dog brought in during a lunch break. She gave other jurors in another trial therapy recommendations. Like, there's a therapist here that can help with some PTSD stuff. But beyond individual judges reaching out and seeing that this is going to be difficult, like, here, how can I help you? Mm-hmm. There's really nothing. There's a handful of states that are addressing it. Kansas and Missouri are not on the list.
And are you even remotely surprised?
Because of resources?
Yes and no. I think I don't want to insert politics into this, Dana.
I feel like, Scott, and let's not, you know, you and I probably are not going to be called to testify on a jury.
We might be called to testify, never to be a juror.
Be a juror. I will tell you, my mother had to do it. It was a child abuse case. She said it was the worst 2 weeks of her life. And I do remember she would go into the bathroom, shut the door, and sob. She would just sob. Hmm. And she did not talk to my dad about it. She said it was the worst 2 weeks. She goes, I talked to him about everything.
Yeah, but not that.
But not that. And I think, you know, you say you're going to be a juror and you get in, you're in this little room, you don't know what the case is about. Sometimes you're chosen, you don't even really know what the case is about. And then you get in. Now, with Koberger, you would have. But you get in there and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, I think to more politically correctly answer the previous question that you had, I think in some parts of the country, there is still a stigma regarding mental health, where we don't think of the brain as a physical part of the body. Your thoughts are different. The thoughts that go in your mind, or the images you can't release, are different, I think, in the way some people view it, than a broken arm, or a severed leg, or a gunshot, you know, through your foot. Those are physical injuries. I don't think we're getting better, but we're definitely not there with equating mental injuries with physical injuries.
But the first place we should see this
is the military.
Without question. The first place we should see this in the civilian population is with a juror. And here's why, Scott. All of the other things that we talk about with mental health on the job. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, there's going to be mental health struggles if you're an emergency room physician or a firefighter or a nurse or, you know, all of those public helper type. Mm-hmm. But with the juror, she worked as a secretary at NYU, and now all of a sudden you're showing her things that even the most hardened crime scene detective has trouble processing.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Well, Dana, your luck continues. You are going to a completely meaningless Chiefs game on Friday, August 22nd at 7:20 at night to watch the Chiefs wrap up the preseason against the Bears.
I am thrilled and happy, and I
Congrats.
Accept those tickets.
Enjoy.
Darn right I do.
Now, if Johnny, and I'm not saying Johnny does this, but if he happens to get too drunk and, I don't know, pass out and have to be wheeled out on a wheelchair, you got to stay and watch the rest of the
game?
He's
not that guy, but if he did, I'd be like, preseason, Mahomes is only playing one quarter.
Are these in the suite? Are these in the suite or are these just in the stands?
They're not in the suite.
I'm going to put a wager that
until she makes a phone call and then they are in the suite.
That Dana gives these tickets to one of her kids and they're significant.
No.
It's a meaningless game in the stands on a hot August night.
Mm-mm. I'm
not smelling it.
I think we're going to the Chiefs game. That's what I think.
It's also a Friday night.
It's a Friday night game, yeah. So it
starts at 7:20.
Under those Friday
so
night
you
lights.
You get to hang out here until 6.
Yeah.
Not leaving early.
Yeah, no. Nor would I. I would not shirk my duties.
You're actually off that day.
I know.
You have something going on that
I
day.
I do have something going. It's going to be a very busy day.
Not busy after 7:20 at night when Jack's sitting at Arrowhead.
I'm just excited it's here.
We're all very excited that football is here. I just wish we could do away with preseason.
I think they will eventually.
Do you really, because of the threat of injury?
Well, not only that.
It's like the Pro Bowl. It's dumb.
Yeah. Nobody watches the Pro Bowl anymore. I mean, Saturday night, I had the choice of sitting at home watching the Chiefs play the Cardinals or go out and watch Sporting. And Sporting is not having, let's be honest, the best season. But that game actually meant something. So I went to the game that actually meant something. And we sat out at Sporting and watched the game.
I do understand the opportunity for young players to get a chance to prove themselves in front of the big stage.
Sure.
But anyway, we're not a sports station. It's dumb.
All right.
Maybe make it 2 games.
No, just get rid of it.
Or one.
One. I like one.
One preseason game, and then let's get this thing started.
We'll call it the season warm-up.
College football doesn't do preseason.
Yeah.
That's true.
They call that the non-conference schedule. A door dividing incompatible lions in an enclosure at the Columbus Zoo in Ohio.
Oh, no.
Apparently failed in April, resulting in the death of one of 4 lions and injuries to another.
No. The lions don't get along?
Well, they're not from the same...
Family? Pride?
Pride, yeah. I don't think they get along very
well. Oh, no.
A male lion killed a lioness...
I thought we were veering away from death for the last segment.
Okay. I know. Scott always just reaches out and goes, oh, dear, so-and-so has cancer. I go, okay, great. Everyone have a good night.
Anybody else get maimed?
Amazon is expanding its same-day grocery delivery service to 1,000 cities and towns across the United States, the company announced today. It is also introducing thousands of perishable grocery items to its offerings and will expand services to a total of 2,300 new locales by the end of 2025. The move positions Amazon as a strong competitor to Instacart and Walmart Plus, both of which offer same-day grocery delivery services. What if you're not home?
You would not place the order let's say you needed chicken and hamburger and ice cream. You wouldn't place that order to be delivered if you weren't home.
I don't understand why people can't get in their damned car.
I say the same thing. We were about to order food a couple of weeks ago, and there were 5 of us. All of us were sober. All of us had a vehicle. We were going to order it. And I looked at him and guys, all go get the food.
And you went and got it?
Yeah. Like, why would we pay $9?
Like a pioneer. Listen to Sam.
He's not a pioneer. He's a human. The store's right on the corner. I got a Walmart this way. I got a Hy-Vee over here. I mean...
Then you've got to put pants on. You've got to talk to people.
Well, who walks around without their pants on?
Sometimes you just don't want to put pants on, Scott.
Call that Saturday night at 10. We got to run. On behalf of our producer today, Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks. See you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.